It's Deep Focus. I'm your host, Mitch Goldman. This is part two of three parts of a podcast from March of 2020. Graham Haines, my guest, on the topic of Jackie Byard. And as you hear here, Graham Haines is like the musical Zelig. He is on the spot every time something's happening. And the only way that you get that way and you get that set of experiences is if you have the mind to think about things in that way. You're there because you want to be there, and then some stuff unfolds before your eyes and ears. And thankfully for us, Graham is kind and generous and wise and knowing enough to share these stories so beautifully. I'm so grateful to him coming through, and you should get an earful of Graham Haines' music when he comes through town for you or any of his recordings. Look out for Graham Haines, H-A-Y-N-E-S. All right, here is part two of three parts.
Thank you. Thank you.
Jackie Bard with Joe Farrell, and a live album that came out on the Prestige label in 1965, The Last from Lenny's. Lenny's refers to Lenny's on the Turnpike, a popular local live music venue in West Peabody, Massachusetts, the home state of Jackie Byard, as well as Alan Dawson, the drummer here, and George Tucker playing the bass, Joe Farrell, tenor, soprano, saxophone, not listed, but that was him on the flute, and Jackie Byard on the piano. We heard Dolphy 2. And that is you. Oh, looked like a whole nother person there. The show's called Deep Focus. I'm Mitch Goldman. Graham Haines is my guest. And we're just reveling in this music. This is just such a treat. And, you know, it's a little bit of lightning in a bottle, isn't it, Graham? Like, yeah. You know, you do.
Sounds like it.
I don't know how many live records you've been on, and this probably applies to working in the studio too. I mean, everybody goes in with their best intentions. Yeah. But that magic, I mean, this was before, 1965 was kind of before the golden age of live recordings, maybe. I guess, I mean, you had Coltrane, Live at the Village, Vanguard, those records had come out. But I mean, I don't think that really caught fire till somewhat later. But it's that magic of making the recording and getting the thing that's here. And as we've been talking about this off mic, it's not even that it sounds so pristine. No. Or that the instruments are so vaunted and, you know, perfect, but it's just got that feel.
It's got that feel, and it's got that drive. I mean, you know, as a lot has to be said for the Mingus Workshop, you know, for that band, you know.
Now, maybe people don't know about that. You want to fill in the blanks for folks a little bit?
Yeah, well, you know, Charles Mingus had a group for a period of years, I guess from the end of the 50s into the end of the 60s, or maybe even into the 70s, with Danny Richmond on drums. And Jackie Byard was in that band for a period of time, probably from the early 60s into the mid or late 60s. And that was, you know, Jackie, Danny Richmond, and Mingus were the rhythm section. So I think that concept coming from Mingus is something that Jackie kept that in his, you know, in his basic DNA of constructing a rhythm section. You know, so that energy that we hear in this, I think, is also coming from that.
Yeah, and also that kind of ethos of be ready to play anything, go anywhere.
That's Jackie, but that's also Mingus, I think. I think the two of them have that in common.
You know who else I would put in that same basket of fruit? Roland Kirk.
Yeah, who also played with Mingus.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And, Roland Kirk. And also. Jackie.
Right.
And yeah, also that same kind of, like, it's a certain, it's got a certain kind of macho aspect to it, too. I don't think of Jackie that way in particular, but, you know, a kind of muscularity of approaching the music.
Hard.
Right?
Hard driving.
Yeah. Yeah. And But
certainly the idea of play anything, put anything in it if you think it fits.
Yeah.
You know. Jackie, Mingus, Rahsaan, they all have that approach to the music, yeah. I think so. Not a lot of other guys in that period did.
Yeah.
You know. They did.
Yeah. I wonder, maybe it, you know, I don't know if it was so hip at that time to.
And then the other thing that I also hear is the third stream. in the use, the chords that Jackie's using in the extensions of these chords and the bitonality of these, you know, Jackie was a New England piano player, and he was around.
When you say New England, meaning?
You know, Boston area, Massachusetts, Lenox, Boston, you know. The third stream approach, classical, 20th century classical music in tandem with jazz. You hear that also in Jackie's playing. You hear it in the playing all the time, and you hear that in this record, definitely. It's the use of tonality, how tonality is used. Also, I think it's something particular to, you know, the first time I heard, who's the musician who was known for?
John Lewis?
No, not John Lewis.
I know what you're talking about.
And not George Russell.
Schuller.
Schuller.
Gunther Schuller.
Gunther Schuller. The first time I heard the name Gunther Schuller was from Jackie Byard.
Interesting.
So he was definitely inside into that approach to harmony of using 20th century ideas, classical ideas, in his harmonic approach to jazz, you know, and that's something you don't hear a lot in the, you only hear it from specific people. I mean, you hear that a little bit from Cecil a little.
Mm-hmm.
You hear it a little bit from Andrew Hill.
Yes.
And you hear it from Jackie, but you don't hear that and John Lewis also.
Yeah.
But you know, but also Cecil is a Boston area, New England area trained. Even though, is Cecil from New York, or is he from New England?
I think he's from New York.
Yeah, he's from New York, but I think he went to school, or he wound up in that area. And you know, there's a certain sound. There's a certain sound. There's a certain harmonic, tonal approach that you hear from all those piano players that I named. That's definitely coming out of a quote, what they quote called third stream.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that's another thing that you hear, that I think Mingus was also kind of in the middle of.
Yeah,
maybe through Jackie, or maybe not, maybe before. Yeah. But he was definitely, all those instrumentals were touring around with bitonality, like playing in two different keys at once, and that whole thing that wasn't going on a lot in jazz.
Yeah. They definitely were listening to a lot of a big range of music. I mean, Jackie Byard must have taken in everything that was going on at that time in classical music and in the world, I would think.
Yeah.
Sounds like it. But another very distinctive thing about his playing is his time.
Yeah. Yeah, he swings hard.
Yeah.
You know, he swings hard, but he's also kind of, he's dealing with a lot of different time elements. That's also coming from the third stream thing. He's a busy piano player.
Yeah.
You know, he's always active.
Yes.
He's not strolling for very long. No. But he could, you know, he could do that. I mean, and if there were more musicians in the band, you know, he would make more room for what was going on. But he was definitely always interjecting and pushing, driving, and it's just like, you know, just don't coast, you know, like you gotta push the thing, you know.
Yeah. He's got his foot on the gas, man. Yeah. No doubt about it.
Yeah, but yeah, this band, I mean, you know, 1965, I guess Jackie was maybe still playing with Mingus, and he probably had a lot of, you know, the Mingus would go to Europe for long periods, so
yeah. Right. Well, yeah, the previous year they had been there for an extended run.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was when Dolphy was in the band in the beginning of that tour, and left in the middle.
Yeah. and then left in the middle and stayed in Europe. Yeah, so, you know, Jackie is up. You know, he's playing. You know, he's playing all the time. You know, he's recording a lot. He's doing his own records. He's doing mixes. He's making records with Eric. You know, he's making records of his own and with different people and playing with Mingus. So there's a lot of information. There's a lot of energy from all those years of playing night after night after night.
Yeah. Well, it's also interesting thinking about what's happening elsewhere in 1965. You know, Miles is really deep in it with the quintet with Herbie Hancock and Ron Carter and Tony Williams and Wayne Shorter. And there, I hear a lot of overlap between what they were doing and what's happening here. Yeah. Where Coltrane's now got Rashid Ali in the band, and that's just starting to explode in that direction. I guess this is around the time that Elvin's on his way out, et cetera.
Yeah.
I mean,
Monk is still around in 65.
Yep.
You hear a little bit of Monk in Jackie's playing, a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Jackie used to talk about Monk a lot, and Jackie was friends with him. Jackie knew Monk.
There's a big overlap there, I think.
Yeah. That especially the affinity with the stride. They both had that.
And also, I think the closeness, I think melody means a lot to Jackie.
Yeah.
And I think it meant a lot to Mingus.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not just abstraction and what can we do with this chord. I think he's...
Yeah. Melody is very important. I mean, in as much as, you know, Eric came in and brought those wired interval jumps and all that stuff, you know, and even the piece that they play that's called Dolphy, you hear these intervallic leaps. I think he was really into, like, these wired intervals that the musicians got into later. But yeah, like you say, there's still a dedication to melody in the middle of all this other stuff that's going on.
You know? And 1965, you know, you still, Louis Armstrong's still playing, and Roy Eldridge is still playing.
And the Beatles are
playing. And the Beatles are playing. And, you know, you still got Motown and listening to New Orleans.
Yeah.
And Dixieland.
Yeah.
And you got, you know, I mean, there's a big,
you got folk getting ready to happen down in the West Village.
Happening,
yeah.
Exploding. In the same, some of the same venues where these guys would play, you know. I mean, there's, you know, I think Mingus did shows at the Village Gate where, you know, Dylan and all the folk stuff was happening. So
Yeah, and all those places were very close proximity. Village Gate was just down the block from folk. Folk City, or?
And I think they all listen to one another a lot more than people realize.
Well, you know, that's the thing I realized. I read the Bob Dylan Chronicles book that he wrote, and he actually talks about playing a gig once, and Monk was there, you know, and Monk talking to him after a gig, and, you know, running into Don Cherry at a club and Don sitting in with them. I mean, you know, that was happening. Apparently, you know, those guys, you know, there was definitely an intersection between, you know, and then later with Newport, you know, there was Newport folk and a Newport jazz, and there was definitely an overlap there. So,
yeah. Well, this is a great moment. April 1965, and talking about Jackie Byard with Graham Haines on Deep Focus. And should we hear the rest of this set? We got a couple more pieces. There's Jackie Byard's medley, and you might recognize some familiar titles from that one. He's going back in the book for this one.
What do you think? You wanna finish the rest of the record, or switch maybe and go to some?
Let's finish it. We're almost right at the end. Okay. I don't have anything else queued up. So
yeah. Okay.
All right. We're going to roll this one out. And then we got some other very different, equally magnificent stuff to play for you. So coming at you. So we're going to play some good stuff. Then we're going to play some more good stuff. I'm Mitch Goldman, WKCR, here with Graham Haines. Deep Focus on Jackie Byard. WKCR. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's enough. Oh, and that's back to
Well,
that's back to the beginning. We could play the whole thing again. That would be just fine with me. But we might be able to come up with something else for you a little bit. But that was the magnificent Jackie Bard, the subject of tonight's Deep Focus. Jackie Bard with Joe Farrell, the last from Lenny's. Lenny's on the Turnpike in West Peabody, Massachusetts, April 15th, 1965. This one, unlike almost everything else that we play on this show, came not from the WKCR archives, but from our library. That one came out on Prestige. I don't know if it's in print, but if you want to go looking for it, you will find it, an LP, a CD, what have you, maybe even a digital download. I don't know. Prestige is under the Fantasy. Concord? I'm not sure. I'm going to stop talking about that now.
Galaxy Fantasy?
But point is, this was commercially released. Full band, Jackie Bard's piano, Joe Farrell tenor, soprano saxophones and flute, George Tucker on the bass, Alan Dawson playing the drums, and my guest, Graham Haynes, and I, we look for these for controversy. You know, we know that stirs up the audience. It's like a political show, talk show. Point, counterpoint. We just can't manage to disagree about this. I've tried spurring Graham to hostility. He won't do it.
Man, what a gig. What a gig these guys had that night. You know, it was the whole band was on fire. They were blazing and firing on all cylinders, and the band was loose, but they were together, and it was, really driving hard, man. It's like Jackie pushing it. Like, music like this, that was a period of time, that's over now. you'd be hard-pressed to find a band that sounds like that.
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah.
But then, those guys had it, and they were on it, and they pushed it, man. They were pushing it.
Yeah, 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 yeah. It was. Thank you you hipped me to it. I hadn't known this one.
Yeah, well, thank you to whoever I heard playing it here on the station. It was one afternoon, I turned on KCR, and I heard it.
That's it, man. That's what we do. Well, we're here from 6 to 9 p.m. We're a little bit beyond halfway through. We got a ton more great music for you. But I wanted to take this opportunity, Graham Haynes, to just ask you what you've been up to and what chances people might have to hear music that you might be playing and all that good stuff.
I've been playing with a few different people in a few different kinds of settings. I just came back from Paris with Bill Laswell in a group called MOD, Method of Defiance, that's like an 8-piece group.
I'm curious.
It's Bill on bass. It's Dr. Israel.
Israel.
Yeah. Peter Offenbaum, myself.
Wow, yeah.
A guy named Guy Licata on drums, Bill, and there's another bass player. There are two basses. It's a large project, DJ Logic.
Wow. I want to hear that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We've been working a little bit with that group. Next August, we're playing in Middleheim with Iggy Pop. Iggy Pop is going to play with us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So okay.
Yeah, that's something that I do with Bill on and off. I've been playing with Vijay Iyer Sextet quite a bit.
That's a great band that I love to hear. And Vijay's been here, of course. Well, not of course to everybody, but you know that. But and you said you got something coming up with that group, right?
No, we just played the other night in Houston, Texas with that band. And I have something coming up with a different group of his at Yale later in April. And I forget what he calls that group. But Yusuf Anitari, who's usually with that group, I believe I'm taking his slot. He's got something else to do. So I'm playing. I'm going to cover for him. And I'm sure it's going to be fun. The Sextet, I've been playing with Vijay And we have a record out on ECM, Far From Over. So, and this weekend, I'm playing a duet with a percussionist named Shakur Hakim. We're going to play duet. I'm going to play cornet. He's playing percussion. I'm going to pull my Dusunguni out. I got a Dusunguni in Mali some years ago, and I'm going to play a little bit of that, and I'm going to play my horn. But this is a house concert that we're playing that for reasons that may not be apparent, I can't really give the information. This is a house. It's a small concert. So we're going to play in this loft in the East Village, my friend's place.
Nice.
So that's this Saturday, the 7th. Is that Saturday?
I think so.
Yeah, yeah.
And how do people keep up with you? What's your tweet? What do you do?
I do Facebook and Instagram. Mm-hmm. So you can find me on Facebook, Graham Haines, and on Instagram, Graham Haines 60. So I usually post all my gigs.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've been focusing more lately. In the last few years, I've been trying to do more composing and less performing and more studying. The last 3 to 5 years, I think, you know, it's been a conscious effort of mine. I've been wanting to write some long works and take a lot of time and study and stuff. So that's what I've been focused on. I've been kind of really reeling in on gigs and doing that. I've written a few. I have about 3 chamber works that have been played on and off in the last year. And I'm trying to write some more. And I'm trying to write for orchestra. I've also been doing some conduction things. And my idea is to fuse the conduction. Okay, so Butch Morris, who I worked with for some years, and I was very friendly with over a period of time, I always wanted to write some music and have him do conduction with it and then feature me as a soloist inside of it. So Butch would always say, yeah, just write some stuff and give it to me and we'll do it. And I never did it.
Mm.
So.
And Butch, a fellow cornet player like yourself.
Yeah, right, right. So now there's a there's a conduction book out that's been published and it's all over the world now. So people that are interested in conduction can get this book and learn about it.
What is conduction? Tell people who might not know.
Conduction is a way of creating music without notated music, using a number of gestures that Butch came up with and kind of codified these gestures, and there are about 30 of them, you know. And, you know, it doesn't matter what size ensemble. It can be 5 people. It can be 50 people. It can be musicians. It can be actors. I've seen Butch conduct actors and poets. And, you know, it can be anything sound, you know. And, he did that for a while. And now they're, you know, with the advent of the book, there are more people doing conduction, and I made it a point to learn it playing with him. I worked with Butch for a number of years, and I've been conducting this group that he used to conduct called the New Blue Orchestra, which is not down at New Blue, those guys. And I've been working with a few different people. I just came back from Brazil. I'm working on some things down there with conduction. And I've been working with some students and some universities with conduction. So that's something that I'm really interested in. And then fusing that with notated music. So,
I'm looking forward to hearing more, always. Yeah. You are listening to WKCR-FM New York, WKCR-HD1. You can find us online at WKCR.org. We have always been 89.9 FM here in New York. I'm Mitch Goldman. The show's called Deep Focus. Graham Haines, my guest, and we are turning our attention. We've turned our attention to Jackie Byard. That's who we're talking about this evening. And we had a great set. I hope you didn't miss it. It was
small group quartet, Jackie Byard featuring Joe Farrell on tenor saxophone and other instruments. But we've been talking a lot about the large ensemble that Jackie Byard led for many years that Graham was a part of, Apollo Stompers. And we do have a live recording from the archives of this group. And it was a recording made here in New York at the Public Theater in 1989. It says 1989. I seem to remember it being earlier than that, but I guess that's what it says. Probably right.
Yeah, and I'm not on this recording. I've worked with that group from about 1981 or 82. And then we did a record. We did a recording sometime in the 80s, I think in the mid-80s or late 80s. But in 1989, I wasn't there, so I'm not on this thing you're going to play.
Mm-hmm. You want to talk a little bit about the band, or should we hear some music and come back to it? And
It was a great band. A lot of these guys were in the band when I was in it. Jackie was fortunate enough to keep a lot of the same, like Richard Allen's playing drums. Richard was the drummer for a long time. Pablo Calajero on Barry Sax, Bobby Torrance, who was a great alto player who had this wonderful sound. Roger Parrott, lead trumpet. Those were the guys who were in the band when I was in it. And Jackie had this band for a long time. Junior Vega, trumpet. You know, had the band for a while. That's not an easy feat to keep a big band in the 1980s.
Yeah.
But he did it, you know.
Well, it's, I'm not going to say a darn thing. I think we're just going to let it rip.
Yeah, let it rip.
How about that? Okay, so it's Jackie Byard with the Apollo Stompers at the Public Theater, March of 1989. Deep Focus on WKCR. That is the second of three parts of this program from March 2nd, 2020. What were you doing at that time? I'll tell you how you can remember. That was the last Monday before the COVID shutdown. I think here in New York, the door closed like a week after that. So we didn't do another show. We couldn't set foot in the studios WKCR for a couple of years after that. But that was when I started doing this podcast. So, silver linings and all that. Okay, that's two parts. I will see you over part three of this program. Graham Haines on the topic of Jackie Byard, March 2, 2020.